All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we resume our studies here, finishing out chapter 17. We'll do the final section here, verses 23 through 27, as a core. Titled Abraham's Obedience. Verse 23, then Abraham took Ishmael his son and all the servants who were born in his house. While consecutive, a verb to take, lakach, cow in perfect third masculine singular, L-A-Q-A-C-H. Abraham, then you have to sign the direct object, Ishmael, transliterated, his son, common masculine singular noun, construct the third masculine singular suffix ben, B-E-N, and all who were born in his house. Vowel conjunction, sign of the direct object, common masculine singular noun, construct word for all, kol, K-O-L, those born of, adjective masculine plural, construct the noun or the adjective form yalad, yalid, y-a-l-i-y-d. His house is a common masculine singular, construct the third masculine singular suffix bayith, b-a-y-i-t-h, bayith. And all who were bought, purchased with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's household. While conjunction, again the sign of a direct object, our noun, all, everyone, common masculine singular, construct, kol, then our word for bought or purchase is a common feminine singular noun in a construct state, mikina, M-I-Q-E-N-A-H, mikina, means to buy or purchase. Everyone purchased with his money, his silver, Abraham's silver, common masculine singular, construct third masculine singular suffix keseth, K-E-S-E-P-H. Every male is the, again, noun kol, repeated, common masculine singular, construct all of, or each of, each male. Male is our common masculine singular noun, absolute, zakar, z-a-k-a-r. Then you have the preposition bait, followed with the common masculine plural, construct noun, ish, men, I-S-H, followed with the noun for house, again, bayith, bayith, common masculine singular, construct among the men of the house of Abraham, and circumcise the flesh of their foreskin in the very same day, as God has said to him. While consecutive, and the verb to circumcise, cow in perfect third masculine singular, mul, M-U-L. Sign a direct object, or noun for flesh, common masculine singular, construct basar, the flesh of, B-A-S-A-R. Therefore, skin is the common feminine singular, construct noun with the third masculine plural suffix arelah, A-R-E-L-A-H. Should be their foreskin in the plural, not his. In the very same day as a preposition bet, then our common feminine singular noun, construct etzem, literally means bone, translated same, E-T-S-E-M. Defna article, or now for day, common masculine singular, absolute, yom, Y-O-M. That berry one, definite article, adjective, masculine singular, zeh, Z-E-H. Then you have the preposition, kaf, plus the relative pronoun, asher, a S-H-E-R. Just as, which, God had said, our verb to speak here is the PL, perfect third masculine singular, dabar, D-A-B-A-R, translated matter or word, thing, just as which he utterly spoke, intensive, with him, preposition eth, third masculine singular suffix, E-T-H, that being Elohim, God. Verse 24. Now Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Wow, conjunction. Now, proper noun, Abraham. A son of 99 years. Literally, you have the common masculine singular noun, ben, in the construct state, B-E-N. And then our number 90 is adjective, both plural absolute, tisaim, T-I-S-E-I-Y-M. The son of 90, and vowel conjunction 9, adjective feminine singular absolute, tessa, T-E-S-A. Years are noun shana, S-H-A-N-A-H. Common feminine singular. When he was circumcised, is the preposition bet, followed with the nifal infinitive verb, construct with the third masculine singular suffix, mul, again, M-U-L, in his having been circumcised, in the passive, in the flesh of his foreskin, or noun flesh, again, basar, B-A-S-A-R, foreskin, the uncircumcised part of the male phallus, common feminine singular construct, third masculine singular suffix, ar-lah, A-R-E-L-A-H. And Ishmael, verse 25, the son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. A vowel conjunction, proper noun, Ishmael. His son, or noun, Ben, with the third masculine singular suffix, B-E-N. He was 13. He was a son of 3 plus 10 years. Ben repeated in the construct state. Then our adjective number 3, cardinal number F, of feminine singular construct, shalosh, shalosh, S-H-A-L-O-S-H. Number 3, then 10, is the adjective feminine singular absolute, esera, E-S-E-R-E-H. Years, shana, same noun as before. In his having been circumcised, literally, preposition bet, and then our nifel, infinitive construct, third masculine singular suffix, mole, same construction we saw with Abraham. Flesh of his foreskin, same words, pattern. Basar, sign of the direct object, basar, flesh, arla, foreskin. Verse 26, in the very same day Abraham was circumcised and Ishmael his son. You see all these references to Ishmael in this. Preposition bet, same as our noun etzem again, literally bone, E-T-S-E-E-M. Definite article, day, yom, Y-O-M. Common masculine singular absolute. Zeh, on the same or very one day. Zeh, adjective zeh, Z-E-H, masculine singular. Then our verb circumcise, mul, repeated here in the passive, niphal, perfect third maximum singular, M-U-L, Abraham, and Ishmael, his son. Son, Ben, with the third maximum singular suffix. Verse 27. And all the men of his household. Vowel conjunction, our noun kol, K-O-L, all, common masculine singular, men, ish, I-S-H, common masculine plural construct. His house, bayith, bayith, B-A-Y-I-T-H, with the third masculine singular suffix. Who were born in a house or purchased with money from a foreigner. Those born of the adjective masculine singular construct again, Yalid, Y-A-L-I-Y-D, of the house, Bayith. Vowel conjunction, our noun to purchase, Mikanah, common feminine singular construct. Saw the verb, here the noun, Akinah, M-I-Q-E-N-A-H. Acquired, bought with, Keseph, money, literally silver, K-E-S-E-P-H. From a foreigner is the preposition men, followed with the preposition eth, from along with the son of a foreigner. Common masculine singular construct ben, then our noun for foreigner, common masculine singular absolute, nakar, N-A-K-A-R. We're circumcised with him. We're circumcised is the niphal perfect third common plural. They were all circumcised, mul, with him, preposition eth, with the third masculine singular suffix. End of chapter fat. All right? We're reading these five verses. 23, then Abraham took Ishmael's son and all who were born in his house, and all were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's household, and circumcised the flesh of their uncircumcision in the very same day as God had said to him. Now Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin or uncircumcision. Verse 25, and Ishmael, his son, was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. Verse 26, in the very same day Abraham was circumcised, and Ishmael with it, and Ishmael, his son. Verse 27, and all the men of his household who were born in the house were bought with money from a foreigner were circumcised with him. I would say that most of his people in that household got circumcised that day. All the men especially. Quite a scene. Don't try to visualize it too hard. All right, analysis verses 23 through 27. 1, verse 23 opens the second scene of the chapter here in epilogue. 2, it is terse in its narration. In other words, it's simply short and to the point. 3, just as quickly, God exited the scene in verse 22. He's finished talking, and then he split, went up from Abraham. So just as quickly, God exited the scene in verse 22. So Abraham is seen promptly applying the rite of circumcision in the very same day. Bet etzem hayom hazeh. That phrase is used two times, verse 23 and 26, to emphasize that Abraham immediately made the application. 4, his quick actions not only evidence his phase 2 obedience, but conveys a sense of urgency tied to God's final words before departure this season next year. The birth of the promised son Isaac is imminent. And obviously, all this serves as additional motivation, not that Abraham would have been any, been lax otherwise, procrastinated, to go in and make the application just as God had commanded him to do so. Time is of the essence in regards to those things in our life and fulfilling God's plan for our life. As Jesus says, work while still day, because soon night will come. One of these days, whatever opportunities we've had in regards to our Christian life and application of doctrine will be done. And we will then, obviously, face the results, consequences, otherwise, rewards of our life in this respect. So, obviously, there is a place and time for patience and waiting upon God in all things. But when doctrine is clear, the application is to be made immediately, as soon as possible, in regards to any given situation of which it can be applied. So 5, now the listing of all those circumcised, all the males in Abraham's household, carefully echoes verse 12 in God's command to him under the rite of circumcision, to insist that Abraham's obedience was not only prompt, it was exact. And sometimes you kind of hear the idea that, well, you don't have to really follow doctrine that close, that exactly. Well, you don't see examples of those adjusted to doctrine in the Bible of not following exactly as God has commanded them in regards to the particulars at hand. So his obedience, he was not a procrastinator in regards to the application, and neither did he play loose in regards to the directives, in regards to God's directed will. This was his directed will for him to be passed down among his generations of Israelites from then on out. So 6, the phrase, as God had said to him, is more accurately in the Hebrew, the like of which God had spoke in words to him, Kaf Asher Debar Eth Elohim, showing Abraham followed the details of every word. That's the emphasis of Debar, spoke. Means word, matter, or thing. He followed the details of every word. 7, Abraham clearly understood that God is an exacting God. His directive will is not up for revision of believers in regards to doing it in another way otherwise. Bible teaches how one is saved, phase 1, the issues of phase 2, etc., etc., his directed wills, his role imperatives as they apply to us, and we are to apply them as God has so spoken these words. That's why when you stand before Christ at the Bema, Bible doctrine would be that which you will be evaluated by in regards to principle of your actions in time. Luke 19:21-22. In the parable here of the minas, God buys the minas, the means of acquisition or investment in regards to one's life. This parallels spiritual gifts, Bible doctrine, opportunity, grace, etc. in one's life to turn what God's provisions are for us into a matter of great return in our investment in time, redeeming the time. Verse 12, and he said, therefore a certain nobleman went to a distant country to receive the kingdom for himself and didn't return. As pictures Christ ascension and return, which then obviously, you know, resurrection occurs for the church in Israel, and all these things will become present, prevalent in time. And he called ten of his slaves and gave to them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. But the citizens hated him, looking at Israel's negative volition, and sent a delegation after him saying, we do not want this man to reign over us. And it came about that when he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him in order that he might know what business they had done. And the first appeared saying, master, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good slave, verse 17, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, be in authority over 10 cities. So he obviously looks at someone who has maximized his phase two in application. And the second came saying, your mina, master has made 5 minas. And he said to him, also, and you to be over 5 cities. Verse 20, another came saying, master, behold your mina, which I put away in a handkerchief. He didn't do anything with it other than hide it. For I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. This is a misplaced fear. The fear is that which is sponsored by negative volition, failure to isolate the sin nature. See? Yeah, God is an exacting God, but He's a very gracious, compassionate God of loving kindness. Yeah, we will be called to task, but He also is faithful, and He will fulfill all promises of blessing that He has otherwise given to us in regards to His Word and His plan for our lives if we will simply line up and fulfill it. And here He uses the excuse that God, though He has a sense of humor, also is a straightforward, stern God when it comes to what He expects from those who are to be His servants and follow Him appropriately. And He says, you take up what you did not lay down and reap what you did not sow. And it's our efforts, our applications. But God gets the glory. Credit goes to Him. That's the idea behind that. In verse 22, but He said to him, by your own words I will judge you, you worthless slave. Someone who obviously did not take the value of spiritual apparatuses through doctrine, God the Holy Spirit, our spiritual gifts, etc., etc., and not applied in regards to their lives. And these are worthless, those who do not come to the light, do not practice Bible doctrine, reveal themselves, their actions are noted as worthless otherwise in Scripture. Taken up, I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow. Then why did you not put the money in the bank? And having come, I would have collected it with interest. At least plugged in to the basic tenet of NPR and make simple application in that regards. There would have been some divine good that would have come out of all this. So all this stuff reads into this. And he said to the bystanders, take the mina away from him, give it to the one who has 10 minas. Has the 10 minas. This suggests strongly that those believers who fail to perform their phase two, complete it, that there's enough wealth, this is the way I see this, there's enough wealth of SG3 that has been put aside, is laid in store for every believer to accomplish their course, to run their course. Obviously, if the possibility is there, he must have the assets necessary to cover all of that. And for those who fail to do it, rather than looking at the constant sad side of the fact that they're failing to do it in application, recognize that what SG3 they would have had coming to him becomes part of the share of those who do apply Bible doctrine and make the maturity adjustment and hold to the end. What else? I mean, how else can you take this? Take it away and give it to the one with the 10 minors. See? The one with the 10 minors, he's the one that has been faithful, see, completely in that regard. So, we'll see when we get there how right I am or not. But my logic is sound. The pillars of my thought are sound. Because truly, if he provides opportunity for believers to fulfill their course, run their course throughout history, then he must have the assets to cover his promise. See, so where do those things go? And we know how gracious God is. Yeah, he's an exacting God, but he's going to blow you out of the water when you see how gracious he is on top of it all. See, be faithful. Hang in there. It will pay off. And they said to him, Master, he has 10 minors already. Verse 26, I tell you that to everyone who has shall more be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. But these enemies of mine who do not want me to reign over them, bring them here and slay them in my presence. That's the second advent, ultimately, as it gets down to that point in time. But anyway, you get the idea. So God's an exacting God. It doesn't pay to play loose with doctrine and to try to rationalize it, water it down. God's directed will, he said to do something, then you better do it. 8, so all the males of Abraham's household that were his in family or purchase were circumcised immediately following the theophany. 9, this included Abraham, who was 99 years old, as well as Ishmael, who was 13 at the time. 13, we could conclude he had reached the age of God consciousness. 10, Paul uses the chronology of Abraham's circumcision as apologetic to the Judaizers that circumcision is ritual, not reality to salvation. The Jews, first of all, got into a form of legalistic work pre-Advent, which Christ walked into in the incarnation in his history, of you got to keep the law and be circumcised in order to be saved. Later on in the church, there were those Jews who became believers. We refer to them as Judaizers. But they wanted to take this legalistic baggage with them, and they started promoting it that you not only had to believe, but you also had to be circumcised and keep the law. And Paul had to battle these false teachers. That is just a common part of the ministry. While they may not necessarily attack us directly, it's still incumbent upon the pastor teacher to make clear the issues of attack. Today, it's even more nefarious, if you will, because of all the communicative capabilities of technology that we have. And the information that is being poured out in regards to people. And obviously part of the job of the pastor is to keep the doctrine in front and warn sheep in regards to human viewpoint, false doctrine that is otherwise being promoted. Paul, he had to do it in his time in their own way. And part of it was addressing these Judaizers that promoted this idea that you had to be circumcised. And he uses doctrine against them. And that is that Abraham didn't become a believer after he is circumcised, or became a believer when he is circumcised, he was a believer way before he was circumcised. That's Romans 4:9-12. Is this blessing then upon the circumcised or the uncircumcised also? For we say faith was reckoned to Abraham as righteousness. Obviously, Paul's stance doctrinally is faith apart from works for phase one salvation. How then was it reckoned? While he was circumcised, Abraham, or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. He didn't need to be circumcised to become a believer. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised. He already had the righteousness of faith before he was circumcised, is what he's saying. That he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be reckoned to them. Again, this brings in the aspect of the Abrahamic covenant, having folded into it realities as it applies to the church age, as we've been bringing out and been seeing in regards to the covenant. And the father of circumcision, verse 12, to those who are not only circumcision, but also follow the steps of faith of our father Abraham while he had while uncircumcised. For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So, Abraham was 99 years old. He was a believer at least 29 years prior to that. At least. See. So Paul uses the chronology of the age of Abraham as argument to the Judaizers, the legalistic believers, insisting that you had to be circumcised. Well, what about the females? You know, what about all this stuff? What does all this mean? See. If this indeed is the way you have to do it. Having any significance to Ishmael's age, and again, not to miss the point, that circumcision is simply a ritual. It's not reality. Just like we recognize the Lord's table is ritual. It's not reality. Water baptism is a ritual. None of these things are efficacious. None of these things save you. They might get you a little SG3, but they do nothing to enhance your salvation of getting into heaven otherwise. All right, so 11, now moving on. Any significance now to Ishmael's age other than the time elapsed between chapters 16 and 17 is up for question here. Again, as I mentioned, by 13, one would think that one has reached God consciousness, contemplating the realities of life. We see Jesus Christ in his humanity at the age of 12 having a complete frame of reference for doctrine. Obviously, he didn't have an SCA to distract him otherwise. But anyway, we see that age bracket here. 12. What catches our attention here, though, is the twofold reference to Ishmael's circumcision, both in verses 25 and 26. Why is Moses being repetitive in this respect, in the author, the narrator? Ishmael was 13 years old. And the very same day, verse 26, Abraham was circumcised, and Ishmael, his son. So that catches our attention. At 13, one might conclude that Ishmael was a believer, accepted into the fold spiritually of the Abrahamic covenant, along with the rest of the household. Obviously, the least surprising things, that would be the least surprising. Abraham, I guarantee you, while it's not stated, his household knew and heard the doctrine. To think otherwise is just ludicrous, at least in my opinion. Believers this positive in God personally visiting, see, in that respect. They at least have been presented with the gospel message. And the implication is in their circumcision and the fact that Ishmael is repeated twice in this respect. Implies very strongly to me that he was a believer. And he was just simply going to be a phase two negative believer in regards to his life. 14, this gives climax to the principle of blessing by association that underlies chapter 17. That is one of the primary pillars of this whole chapter, is blessing by association. The fact that he's a believer obviously opens the doors, in addition to Abraham and his population in Hagar, being blessed to the extent that he experienced in time. 15, that blessing by association is at least again inferred, is seen in the closing general statement that all men of his household were circumcised with him. You have that association with the preposition, mul-eth, with Abraham. 16, just to keep the records clear, however, it must be recognized that the primary emphasis of the epilogue is Abraham's obedience performing a ritual that may or may not signify reality. One can be circumcised and be an unbeliever. Duh. Just like one can be water baptized and never be a believer, or observe the Lord's table, engage in the ritual. So we make clear the distinction between circumcision being a ritual and the reality. But again, I'm bringing out here that the language, the repetitive nature of Ishmael being presented here, along with the household, infers again that all, if not at least most, of the household were believers. 17, at the very least, it infers that the gospel of circumcision was presented to Abraham's household, and Ishmael at age 13 achieved God consciousness and consideration. So, yeah, I'm covering my rear end on it. But if I see him in phase three and you see him, don't be surprised. We're going to see Lot. I mean, some of the things he did wasn't any worse than what Ishmael did. Or any better, put it that way. 18, now the charter promises are enormous for Israel, for time and eternity in their scope, in regards to the covenant, as we have been dealing with it, in regards to this chapter. 19, for the individual to enjoy the full measure of these promises, the reality behind the ritual must be in compliance. The ritual itself is a reminder, a teaching aid, the necessity of the isolation of the sin nature, of the SVA, which we'll look at that again in review of the doctrine after the fact. So for the individual to enjoy the full measure of these promises, the reality behind the ritual must be in compliance. 20, though Abraham's thoughts are left unrecorded here, his works are not. His deeds are not. They are recorded for posterity, for all eternity. 21, his prompt and total obedience to the divine injunction was not put off for even a day. It's how serious he took his doctrine. 22, the bombshell of the divine speech is the promise that Abraham would father a son through his 90-year-old wife in the coming year, giving Abraham cause for levity and confirmation of faith. That really is the apex, if you will, of the present situation for Abraham, and in conjunction with this theophany, that the time of having a child is now imminent. 23, in spite of previous doubts, he pursued spiritual advance and is rewarded with news of imminent blessing almost beyond belief. a miracle will occur, in essence. That's what Christ is saying. God's saying to him, I'm going to perform a miracle. And you're going to have a kid. 24, the insight to the patriarch's feelings and thoughts allows us to identify with the ups and downs of the believer's experience on the glory road. Believers, we all go through the same tests, even though they may be packaged in their unique way for each and every one of us. But overall, the tests are the same. It's patience, endurance, things of this nature. Commitment, discipline, all these things. And it's been that way from the get-go and will continue to exist in such fashion. And to see and read about the lives of others that have gone on before us, those who are held in the Hall of Fame of spiritual believers and their failures is designed to encourage each and every one of us. Hang in there with it. To not cave in, throw in the towel. We're not alone. Not only among ourselves as a royal family, as a local church, in our own individual tests that we share similarly in ways with one another, but also with believers throughout time. See. 25, God was patient with His servant, knowing He would turn away from doubt and embrace fully the promise of His heir. And brought about the conclusion of this unbelievable rendition of the Abrahamic covenant that, as I brought out, ties in over and beyond reward blessing, phase two type of blessing and obedience into the covenant itself, along with the unconditional aspects of it. All right? Well, Tuesday we'll pick up with the doctrine of circumcision. Be sensitive to prep school if it's still going on. Father, again, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light and see things in Jesus' name. Amen.